Okay. Good morning, everybody. For the next couple of weeks, I think it's the next 4 weeks, the share will be at 9.15, and hopefully in February we'll get back to 9.30 again. Well, apologies for the inconvenience. So we're discussing laundering and cleaning clothing on Travis. Basically, what's asked of us is very little. It's mutter. Just to sum up, we touched on it last week. We'll sum up again. The Isser of Libun. Libun is making things white. It was in the Beis HaMikdash where they made material. So you needed to take the wool, and it had to be cleaned. And from then, it could be brushed into its fibers and made into thread, etc. And Chazal learned that Isser of Libun is what we call kvisa, is laundering. And that's also on Shabbos. And it is made up of three stages. Stage number one is wetting the material. Stage number two is rubbing, scrubbing the material. And stage number three is squeezing. Each one is an Isser on its own. If you just do one without the other, that is also Isser. So we're going to learn about each one as we go along. A couple of pointers, regarding kvisa, regarding laundering, is that laundering is when you start off with a dirty garment and end up with a clean one. You start with a clean one and end up with a dirty one, you haven't done anything. So you can soak something in water, and if the water's dirty and the garment was clean, now the garment comes up dirty, that's not a problem of the kvisa. So it must be that there's some sort of improvement. Therefore, we're going to make a difference between whether the garment was clean to start with or the garment was dirty to start with. Also, whether the liquid that was put in is liquid that cleans or liquid that does not clean. If you have a spill of soda, you have Coca-Cola lying around, and you want to clean up the spill, and you take a nice white cloth, so you're not doing kvisa over there, you're not cleaning that cloth whatsoever by putting it into the water, into the Coca-Cola. There's a separate issue of you might come to squeeze it. We'll discuss it as we go along. There's also at times we're going to make a difference between garments that are white or colored or black because there's a difference in its appearance. And also a question of how much a person is makbid on the cleanliness of a garment. Because there's certain things like, if you've got a bit of dust on your garment and you want to wipe off the dust, we're going to see there's going to make a difference whether you're makbid or not. If you're particular not to wear such a garment, so then by dusting it off, you've improved it and made it wearable. So then we see that there's a definite improvement to the article that you have worked with by making it now dust-free. Whereas if you don't care, then it was wearable before, it's wearable afterwards. So not always is it, well, I don't care if my garments are clean or dirty, and therefore I can put them in the washing machine. But we'll see there's certain cases where this comes into account. So again, there's three stages to washing. There's soaking, there's rubbing, there's squeezing. And then within the halachas of kvisa, we will see in certain circumstances we'll make a difference between whether the garment was clean to start with, whether the liquid is clean, whether the what color it is, and whether the owner is particular about the state that the garment is in. So when it comes to soaking, we say that it is forbidden to soak a garment in liquid because that starts the cleaning process. It doesn't make a difference whether you put the garment into water or you pour the water onto the garment, and it also doesn't make a difference of how much you put on. It's discussed that drying your hands, when you dry your hands on a towel, essentially you're taking the liquid off your hands and putting it into the towel. Shouldn't that be a problem of shriyoso zehu kibuso? Soaking is laundering. So we all do it, and the question is, what's the heter? Because essentially, the amount of water is irrelevant. The moment you use a small amount of water and put it into a garment, that is already starting the process of soaking. And the reason why drying our hands on a towel is permissible is because Chazal said that is considered derech lichloch. When you wash your hands and then dry them, you are still in the process of cleaning your hands and removing the dirt off your hands. So when you take your hands and dry them on a towel, we consider the towel afterwards to be soiled. Not that the towel has become clean because I dried my hands on it, but rather the towel has become soiled. It's now a used towel. So therefore, it's actually becoming dirty and not cleaner. And therefore, that's why we're going to say that there's no problem to dry your hands on the towel. But otherwise, if you're adding a liquid into a garment, into a material, if it's done without this added edition of the idea that it's done to soil it and not to clean it, it would be forbidden on Shabbos. Essentially, we're going to say that Shriya, that soaking, applies to clean and dirty garments. It applies as well to white and colored garments. It doesn't make a difference what color it is. It doesn't matter what house, the status of its cleanliness. Anytime you put water on it, we're going to aser it. Unless, as we said, it's derech lechloch, which follows that a soiled diaper that a child has worn, there's no heter to soak it, to put it into liquid, which would obviously mean also even today we'll be using disposables and it's not so practical, but a child that perhaps soiled his bed linen, the same thing would be, you cannot soak that linen on Shabbos. If you have a soiled diaper and there is solid waste, you may remove the solid waste without rubbing anything, but that's as far as you can go, is by just getting rid of the solid waste. You can't do anything further to the cloth. Therefore, the best is, if this is a situation that you're in, you should have a hamper available that is airtight, or you put a bag inside it, and you throw your soiled napkins and diapers into the hamper with a good lid, and that way you will save yourself the unpleasantness of having a soiled diaper lying around and the unpleasantness of the odor that it gives off, and you will have a way to put it, but to soak it in water would be awesome. To spray it against insects, because sometimes these things can attract flies, would be permissible on Shabbos. If at a time of disease and there's a problem, it's a worry that a soiled diaper would be a possibility of passing on a contagious disease, and it is important to keep it clean as quick as possible, then it still doesn't allow us to soak it in water, but one would have a solution of something which is not considered a liquid that cleans, and then you could put it into that liquid that would then perhaps keep the disease at bay. When I saw this halacha, I didn't see any example given. What he does say is, you may not put it into bleach or the likes, because even though that's that will kill all the germs, but that also is a liquid that does do cleaning, and therefore it fits the term of shriyosa zeo kibusa, that soaking is cleaning, and therefore you cannot put it into a solution that will end up cleaning it. So just taking water and adding a chemical inside, as long as that chemical doesn't clean, then if the chemical cleans, you've got a problem. So it doesn't help to put into soap water or bleach water or anything like that. Perhaps if you put something inside that will make the water colored or dirty, something like that, then that would be more of a way to find it, that you could put it into liquid that does not cause cleaning, but it would be liquid that would then protect the soiled garments from passing on disease. Obviously, in such a situation, one should make an effort to use disposables and dispose of them in the healthiest way possible. If you have a garment that has been soaking from Erev Shabbos, it is in a container of water and it's nice and wet, just because the pu'ula, the action of soaking, has taken place, doesn't mean that you can continue cleaning it, and therefore there's no effort to then scrub it or do anything further. You just leave it as is. There are certain materials that are non-absorbent, and when you're dealing with non-absorbent materials, so then the first stage of cleaning does not apply to them. The second stage does, but the first stage doesn't. So if you have the simplest would be, say, a plastic tablecloth, you have latex gloves or something like that, so then there's absolutely no problem of soaking such things in water. Therefore, if you want to wash dishes on Shabbos and you want to wear gloves at the time that you're washing the dishes, obviously washing these in a way, in a situation and in a way that's permissible on Shabbos, then you can wear disposable gloves or non-disposable gloves that are made of a rubbery or silicone or solid material that's non-absorbent. There's no problem of shriyosa zeo kibusoi, that the soaking is the cleaning, because these are non-absorbent materials that don't absorb. So other examples given is in the olden days, you know, ancient days, when children were still wearing terry diapers, toweling napkins, and you put a protector over, a plasticated pants that would protect them from leaking. So if that plasticated liner is purely plastic, it has no other thread that on the seams or anything like that that hold it together, so such a thing could be soaked in water. As I said, shriya, soaking, is permissible in such material, but not shifshuk, not rubbing. And therefore, although you may put it into water, you cannot rub it, you cannot scrub it or wring it or something like that. That would be asur on Shabbos. But you can put it into water. You could even hose it down or shower it down or put it under running water to get off any dirt. That would be permissible if it is made of this non-absorbent material. So as I said, an example would be, say, a liner that was used as a protector when a child's wearing reusable diapers, or perhaps a mattress protector. You have a child that bedwets, so you want to make sure that the springs stay fresh and not rusty, so you put a plastic sheet over the bed. So if that sheet is pure plastic and it has no natural fibers to it, then that also would be permissible to wet it or to shower it down. As I said, you cannot do shifshuk, you cannot scrub it or rub it, but you can wet it. There's no problem of shriyusa zeh kibul, so that the shriya, the soaking, is also in Shabbos. It is also accepted that if you have a material that's made of synthetic fibers, such as nylon or polyester, you know that it's pure nylon or pure polyester, for example, you have stockings or something like that, then those two are considered as non-absorbent materials that the liquid doesn't clean by going in, and therefore you can actually put them in water. Again, you cannot wring them, you cannot squeeze them, you cannot rub them. That won't help, but you can put them in water. There's no problem of letting them get wet, but you've got to be certain that they are 100% pure artificial fibers and there are no natural fibers. There's no small amount of cotton used or something like that, even for the seams or something like that. When we talk about that it's forbidden to squeeze something out, that applies even to not only laundry water, but any other form of liquid that gets into a garment. Even if a person was wearing a coat that got wet in the rain, or a person was wearing a garment in the summer and it got filled with excessive perspiration and he wants to squeeze it out, that again is asur on Shabbos. It doesn't make a difference what the source of the liquid is, the squeezing out is asur on Shabbos. We spoke about this last week a little bit, so I'll just sum it up again. To hang laundry is asur on Shabbos, but it's only hanging in a way that laundry is hung. If you hang it in a place that's not the normal to hang laundry, then there's no problem to hang it or to put it back in its place where it belongs. So if you have a hook where you hang your towel that you keep it, so people don't think that you hung your towel to dry, they think you hung your towel to put it back in its place. And even though you hung it, your purpose was that it wanted to dry, that does not have the Maris Ayin. However, one has to always be careful never to put your wet material, garments, laundry, whatever it is, near a heat source, because we have to watch out for Bishul, that the liquid inside the material will cook. If there's a possibility of the liquid inside the material passing 45 degrees, then that liquid inside will cook, and that would be awesome. So that would apply even if a person has come in from the snow, ice, there's a blizzard, and he comes in and he stands next to a fireplace. You have to be very careful if there's any liquid on your clothing and you stand close enough to the fire that the liquid can actually get to 45 degrees. So you have to let it spoil, that would be asur on Shabbos. If you need to warm yourself up, make sure that you don't get close enough or you're wearing dry clothing. Now, what's interesting is the whole issur of hanging laundry on Shabbos is a issur of Maris Ayin, meaning someone will come to the wrong conclusion about what you are doing. They think if they see you hanging out laundry, they think you must have washed it today, and they will suspect you of being over on the Issur D'oraisa of Kvisa. And therefore, we have to behave in a way that people should not suspect us, because they'll tell us that this is one of the cases we have to avoid so that people won't come to believe that we've done something awesome. And therefore, even if we didn't do something awesome, but it looks like it, therefore, if something got wet in a mutadika, if something got wet, say, like by rain, so you cannot hang it up because people think perhaps you laundered it. However, a garment that is purely synthetic, that we said about, that there's no problem of soaking such a garment. Therefore, Or, for example, you had a plastic tablecloth that you wiped down, you wet it and you put it under running water, and now you want it to dry. So if it's clear that it is a synthetic material, then you can actually hang it out on Shabbos, because people will see that it's synthetic, and then the worst they'll think of you is that you actually soaked it, which is mutter, and therefore there's no problem. So you can actually hang up a plastic tablecloth or a mattress protector that got wet. You may hang such a thing up on Shabbos, as long as it is not in a place where the liquid can get to the Yatza lettuce boy. And based on that idea, there are those who say that if you have a soiled napkin, a soiled diaper that is just slightly soiled, so you want it to dry, you can actually hang it on the line. Because if someone sees a diaper hanging on the line, we're obviously not talking about a disposable one. Anybody sees one hanging on the line, they might perhaps suspect you of other things, if not of Yisur Shabbos, but perhaps they suspect your sanity. But talking about a child may have bed wet and his sheet got wet, but it was something that was clear that it is usually soiled by urine or something like that. So then if you hang it up, people understand that this wasn't washed, this was got wet from a child, and you go and you hang it up to dry. So there are those who are mighty such a thing, because it is understood for those who see that they don't suspect you of washing. So that, as I said, the whole issue of hanging is a Maris Ayin. The problem of people coming to the wrong conclusion, but if they will come to the right conclusion, then it will be permitted for you to do that. Laundry that was hanging on the line from before Shabbos, you do not need to take down. You can leave it hanging. And if you want, you can take it down even on Shabbos, as long as there's no hachana involved. We'll talk about that in a moment. I do want to add in that I saw B'Shem Chaznish. Mm-hmm. Chaznish says that in a day and age like ours, where there are many people who are not Torah and Mitzvah observant, Rachmana Litzlan, and they come to wrong conclusions even by just seeing laundry hanging out. So even though the Ikka Maris Ayin that is discussed here is a Maris Ayin of the hanging of the laundry, is what leads people come to the wrong conclusion, meaning the actual act of putting it on the line. But by the fact that it's just there and not put on the line, that is, that's just been on the line from before Shabbos, we pass them, is not a Maris Ayin. It's only the act of hanging. Chazanish says that if you live amongst people who are ignorant, you live amongst people who might come to the wrong conclusion, then in our day and age, he says that one should be machmir to not let laundry hang out, even laundry that was hung before Shabbos. So as you said, generally speaking, the halacha is that if it was on the line before Shabbos, it's no problem to leave it there. The Chazanish says that it's preferable to bring it in. Some say the Chazanish is only talking about in a mixed neighborhood where you have different types of people, but in a frum neighborhood where everybody is educated, it doesn't apply. And generally speaking, most possibly understand the Chazanish that since it's not the original Maris Ayin of Chazal, and therefore it's only a Hanhaga Tova, a good way of behaving, therefore it won't apply in a place that people can't see it. Usually we say that an Isur Maris Ayin is also Afilu B'Chadri Chadorim, that once Chazal made an Isur because of Maris Ayin, so then even if you do it in private, it would be also to do. So if you have a laundry, if you have a washing stand, and you put it into your private extra bedroom, and that's where you hang up your laundry, there will be also on Shabbos as well, even though no one except for you is going to see it. No one's going to see it. Nevertheless, once they asked it because of Maris Ayin, it's also doesn't make a difference whether it's outside or whether it's inside. But what the Chazanish adds is not to leave laundry hanging out over Shabbos because we're afraid of the uneducated public that might come to the wrong conclusion, is not the original Gzera of Maris Ayin, and therefore it doesn't have this extra chumrah that you can't do it in private, and therefore if you have laundry in the house, say on a laundry stand in a bedroom, you do not, even according to the Chazanish, you do not need to take it down before Shabbos. Now, clothing that is material, clothing that is wet, becomes muktzah, and because there's a problem that you might come to squeeze it out, and therefore, so long as that's wet, then we don't allow one to move it on Shabbos. And if it was wet during Ben HaShemoshah, so then we have a rule, Migud is Katzoy for Ben HaShemoshah, Katzoy L'Kul HaYomer, which means that since it was Mukta during Ben HaShemoshah, it retains its Mukta status for the whole Shabbos, which makes a difference that something which was not Mukta Ben HaShemoshah, but it got wet during the day, So then, if it dried again, it goes back to its original status. Only something which was mukta to penash marshes will stay mukta the whole day. How wet does something need to be in order to be mukta? The Mishaburi uses an expression of tefer amanas lehatbiach, wet enough to cause something else to become wet, which means that, say, you have a garment and you would put your hand on it and your hand would get wet. Now you take your hand and you put it onto a second garment and the second garment would get wet with the moisture that has collected in your hand. Then it tells us that the first garment was wet enough to be considered as mukta. If there was not enough liquid, it was just a certain amount of humidity, that when you touch it, you feel that it's wet. But it's not enough that when you take your hand, you put it on another garment, it's going to make it wet. That's not considered as wet to be mukta on Shabbos. But this issue of mukta, first of all, only applies to something where you might come to squeeze it. Something where you're not going to squeeze it, then we don't have this issue of mukta. And that would be an example of a towel. A towel, our habits are not to squeeze our towels. When towels get too wet to dry your hands on, you don't put it in the hamper and have a fresh one. We don't squeeze, we don't wring them out. And so too, when it comes to a shmata, a rag that you use to clean up, we squeeze it out so that we can clean up the next bit of spill. But essentially, we're not mukta, and it doesn't make a difference to us whether it stays wet or stays dry. And therefore, that type of item, which we call you're not makbid to, you don't care. If it stays wet, then it doesn't have the issue that you might have to squeeze, and therefore it's mukta to move. So a towel that you dried your hands on, even if you dried many things on it, that it's got to the stage where it could actually feel the moisture, nevertheless, it does not become mukta. There is an opinion that a wet towel is not mukta, a wet garment is not mukta for the whole Shabbos, because I'm not going to go into the whole discussion, but there's a terminology of Gomra Bide Adam. When you have something that's going to happen, right now, Ben Ashmoshes, the item is mukta because it's wet, or the item is mukta because it's inedible and it's going through a fermentation process, and the fermentation process will be finished after Shabbos or something like that. When you have such a situation, we say that since it was mukta ben ashmoshes, it's mukta for the whole Shabbos. And sometimes we say that since the process that you have put into effect is a known standardized process that takes 45 minutes, and after 45 minutes it will be over, so it's just a practicality that it happened to go through ben ashmoshes. So when it's over, it won't be mukta. So there is a whole discussion, as I say, I'm not going through all the details of it, whether something that dries is considered gomri bidei shamayim or gomri bidei adam. That's the terminology that's used about whether something is fixed, how it's going to get to its final stage, or something which is dependent on natural factors. The reason why I bring it in is that there is a machlokes over here. The Mishnah Berurah holds that wet material is mukta and finished. There are opinions that hold that wet mukta is not, wet material does not stay mukta. Once it dries, it becomes non-mukta again. The nafkamina is that we're going to take the psak of the Mishnah Berurah, but in certain circumstances, we have to know there is a lenient opinion. So when you have a situation of shasatat, you have nothing else to wear, or you have a situation where a child needs something. And remember, a child we always treat as a cholish and besikana, and therefore we allow the rabbonons. So in such a case, we will override, we will not go with the Mishnah Berurah, and we know that there are other opinions, and we go more on the kula. So if you have, for example, a child's clothing that was wet ben ashmoshes, but now he soiled everything that he has, and the only replacement you have for the child is something that you had hanging on the line on Erev Shabbos, and now it's dry, and you want to take it down and put it on the child. So generally speaking, if it was wet ben ashmoshes, the clothing is mukta, and that's what we generally pass with. But in cases of shasatfak, or cases if you have no other way out, like for a child, so then you can actually take it off the line and put it onto the child. Clothing that got wet and you're still wearing them, you may continue wearing them. We don't consider this as you carrying the water with you wherever you go. So even if there's no eruv, you may carry on wearing these garments. There's also, we're not worried that you might come to squeeze it, because while you're wearing it. Not only that, if that's the only clothing that you have, you may even put them on again after you took them off. So you have a coat that you wore and it got wet on your way home from shul on Friday night, was pouring, and you came home and you put the coat in a place where you can put it on Shabbos, and Shabbos morning you want to go to shul again, and this is the only coat you have and it's still wet, you may put it back on again, not a problem, even though generally we say wet items are mukta. Here, when it comes to needing to wear it, you may put it on again. You have to be careful not to shake out any excess water, because shaking out water from a garment is the same as chita. It's considered as squeezing out and would be asur. And also make sure not to put the coat next to anything that is hot, will cause the liquid inside it to get to your tzeledes boy. An interesting situation, we said that laundry that was hanging on the line on Erev Shabbos and was dry before Shabbos came in, but you didn't have time to take it down. Can you take it down on Shabbos? Well, the problem is over here, it's not a question of mukta, the question of ahona, why are you taking it down? Taking it down so you can tidy up and fold it and put it away, that would be also, if you need something that's on the line, if you know that it was dry ben hashmoshes, you can take it down and use it. What's interesting is that if you see a storm brewing and all your laundry is going to get wet, so even though this is something that's going to happen later, let us say the storm is coming on Moitzei Shabbos, or towards the end of Shabbos, nevertheless, on Shabbos, you can actually take your laundry in, as long as it's not mukta, meaning as long as you know that ben hashmoshes on Friday, the laundry will dry. So Shabbos morning, you can take it in to avoid it getting wet from rain, and you'd have to rewash it. So then it's saving you from a major tircha and a hefsid later on. And therefore, you can actually take it in on Shabbos, as long as your intention is to save it, and not your intention is that you can have it indoors.
I have a question. Sure. Leaving laundry out is considered maris ayin, isn't it?
So we said that the hanging of laundry is maris ayin, but
if it's already hung up, it's not.
If it's already hung up, it's not. We did mention that the Chazon Ish says that it's correct to bring it in, but it's not a real maris ayin of the Chazon Ish.
Thank you.
Laundry pegs, as we call them, I think the Americans call them laundry pins, atlavei kvisa, as they call them in Hebrew, are klishim lachta le'isur. They are used to hang up laundry, which you cannot do on Shabbos, and therefore their purpose is for something which is asur, and therefore they are mukta. But of course, anything which is klishim lachta le'isur, you can move it so it goes from a koimoy, and therefore if you need to hang something in a permissible way, or to take it off the line in a way that's permitted, then you can actually hook it or unhook it as need be, but you should know that only for what you're doing and nothing else, because they are mukta. And one more thing for today, and that is the washing machine also is a klisha malachta le'isur and can only be moved to a gufa makomen, and not that you're going to be moving your washing machine every Shabbos, and if you need to take it into account, but what's more a question, the door of the washing machine is considered part of it, and therefore also has the restriction of mukta that it's also to a gufa makomen, unless it's a gufa makomen. And the same thing for the dryer. What's the practical application? If you are the type of person, you don't have a hamper, when something gets dirty, you put it in the washing machine. On Shabbos, you can put it in the washing machine as well. As long as your intention is not so that it's ready to make a laundry straight away on Moshe Shabbos. If you're not the person who does that, then putting it in the machine is just to shorten and make it ready. So that's an issue of hachana. But if that's not your intention, but this is the way you normally operate, is that dirty clothing goes straight in the machine, you don't have a hamper, then you could do the same on Shabbos, you can open the door because it's in the way. So it's a makom, when you need its place, you can open the door. What about closing the door? So only if it's in the way. So if it's a top-loaded machine, l'chari, you cannot close the door because it's not going to get in your way if it's open. If it's a front-loaded machine and the door's open, now you can't walk past it, so if you need to walk past it, you can close it. So too, the same thing would apply to a dryer. If you have clothing that you put in the dryer before Shabbos, and it got dry before ben hashmoshes, so there's no problem with the clothing in mukta, and you know that it's turned off, and opening the door is not going to activate or deactivate any circuits, so then in such a case, you can actually open the door of your dryer and take out what you need, and if the door of the dryer is going to be in the way, you can close the door again. If the door of the dryer is not going to be in the way, you've got to leave it open. So that's the laundry for today. And with that, we wish everybody a wonderful day and a successful week. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.